to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hey guys, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Welcome back. Today I have for you Terry Lucky. Terry is actually organizing the Beach Run Fly-In coming up September 19th and the 20th, Holland, Michigan, at the Park Township Airport. So I wanted to give him a call and ask him about that. We ended up talking about PPGplans.com. He's actually doing the hardware for the PPG, the Skybolt V2 right now, I think is the only thing he's doing, and maybe later on he'll be doing the V1. We talked about his Super Hub, which he's offering actually as of about a week ago. I guess he still has six of them available. We talk about even his Cheap Trike Flyer. You can go to CheapTrikeFlyer.com and check out what he has on there. So one thing I want you guys to, I want to make sure you don't miss this. If you have a dog that you normally bring with you when you go to these fly-ins, you will have to leave he or she at home. The Park Township Airport does not allow dogs on it. So that's not a Terry Lucky rule. That's just the airport rule. So other than that, it sounds like it's going to be pretty wide open. Oh, and open containers, and you'll hear us talk about that too, about the beer and stuff. That's really not allowed either, but you know, only way they found out is actually the trash, so just kind of incognito, keep it low profile. So anyway, we'll get right into this, and thank Terry again for coming on. The cool thing, Terry is just an easy interview. I always feel like I learn a whole lot when I talk to him, and I've got a chance to talk to him a lot here this year. We've been to several fly-ins together, so, and I've talked to him a couple times. And so sit back, relax. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Thanks.
All right, guys, welcome back. Will Jones here. Well, on the line with me today is Terry Lucky, which you guys, if you remember, one of the first couple of episodes, I got a chance to talk to him about Cheap Trike, the extended service, or the, what is it called, the extended hub, service hub,
which yeah.
All of those things. I don't know if he wants to talk about that, but anyway, Terry, Will, welcome back, man. How are you doing?
Hey, well, good to be back again. You and I are seeing and talking to each other quite a bit recently.
I know it, man. It's been great. It's been great. Guys, I actually first, you know, I talked to him, met him over the phone, and then I finally actually, you know, that face voice thing when we went to the Kankakee Lance Marzak, and then we end up meeting up at Don Jordan's the following week. So, hey, we've been sharing the air a lot here lately. So, and I guess I will see you in a couple of weeks at the Indy Air Hogs, if I'm correct there. So
that is the plan. In fact, Scott and I are going down together. Scott Miller, you remember?
Yes, I do.
And
yes, I do.
We're going to drive down there together, unless the weather forecast is totally atrocious. We plan to be there, so looking forward to it.
Well, good, man. Well, good. I tell you what, it's funny. I brought your CheapTrikeFlyer.com up. Somebody put some new look to it. Looks good. Looks good so far. I guess you got some more information to put on it, but guys, you can go to CheapTrikeFlyer and check out. He's got his number there if you're interested in the things that he into in the Cheap Trike, that is. And I actually got a chance to own hand look several fly-ins of his nice setup you got there, man. Looks good, sounds good. I think I don't know when it tried to go up against that PPC though. I'm thinking power to weight ratio, RPMs, you know. So, but anyway.
Well, yes. What we're referring to as Tim Jordan. Some of us thought it was a little bit too sporty to fly, so we decided impromptu trait drags would be a good idea.
Yes, that was great.
And there was a PPC there with a, oh, you know, some huge Rotax on it. And I was his first victim. And and I think that cheap peg out to one other one, too, as well. So it was drag race-wise, I can't... no ribbon for the cheap trick.
Hey, but it flies good, though. I have to admit that. It flies good. Yeah, it looks real. Just in the sitting back and watching you in your lawn chair there, man, you handle it great. So, but I tell you what, man, I called to ask about the beach run fly-in that's coming up Holland, Michigan. And chit-chat about, you know, of course, I go to YouTube and see your post about this new spring cheap trike. And, whatever we can talk about, it'd be great, man. So I'll tell you what, we'll start off with the beach run fly-in, which is September. You know what? What are the?
I want to say September.
Down.
I'm not at my computer, but the last weekend of summer, and which is coming like a freight train.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't keep track,
I tell you,
especially
what.
For us Northerners. But the it's the last weekend of summer, which in this case the dates are 19 and 20, I believe.
Yes,
which
is it is.
Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, yeah, September 20th. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and the fly-in is right at Park Township Airport in Holland, Michigan, and it's it's all free camping right on the airport grounds, and it's a wonderful place to come set up your camper, your tent. And currently, they like to have you if you want to come a couple days early. Super, we've had guys show up as early as Monday.
Wow!
Stay all week and fly for the weekend. Oh yeah,
that's too cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I always say, as it says in the USPA little event calendar.
Yes.
Write up that the star of the thing is not me or Scott or anybody here. It actually is the beach. And you take off, you fly for a couple of minutes, and you're right over the beach of Lake Michigan, best beach in the state,
wow,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
And if the weather's good, come. You won't regret it. It's a fantastic time. You have a great time.
We said, listening to the guys at the fly-ins and stuff, that's all they talked about. Oh, yeah, you get up over and you fly, and it's like, oh, man, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, actually, it's funny because last year I'd planned to come, and it's one of those deals where I don't know what happened, you know, but definitely it's one that I'm going to definitely hit, like you said, if the weather's right and everything. And
Well, you know how it is with fly-ins. I have an issue that I was going to go to Flight Junkies this year, and I have sort of a commercial interest in it. Show up and show my things. And,
yes.
And I thought, that's probably my crowd. They're probably all my crowd. I should be at all of them. And so I got all geared up for Flight Junkies, and I cleaned out the pop-up camper. And
ants?
Then then you start thinking, I got so many things to do, and it's a long drive. And
yes,
next thing is, oh, man, now it's too late. I really I can't go anymore. So I don't always look forward to going, but once I get there, of course, it's different story. I really enjoy myself always. So,
well, I tell you what, if you like me, when I looked at it, it was the weather looked like it was going to be horrible. So it ended up not being too bad. So, yeah, I was.
Well, didn't you say there was one day that was marginal, but then?
Oh yes.
There was a couple of days of really good flying.
Yeah. I'm going to post a little YouTube thing trying to explain and show kind of the feel. I got very limited video because I was still having motor problems, and also my somebody forgot to charge batteries and cameras. So imagine that, and didn't bring charging equipment. But yes, it Friday. Friday morning when I got there. It was kind of foggy, overcast, but it was really good up until about 10 o'clock. Picked up a little bit as far as wind, thermals, things like that. Friday evening was excellent. Saturday morning was good, and then basically it was a blowout, and a lot of people kind of bugged out Saturday, and they said Sunday was supposed to be good, but a lot of people went ahead and took off. But yes, it was flyable, and like I said, if you would have looked at the weather, it was like the whole weekend was shot. You know, it wasn't going to happen.
Was there a good show out there? He usually draws pretty
good
crowds.
I bet you there was over 100 guys there, and probably about 100 guys didn't show up. I was looking at the list of people that didn't show up. It was like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it was a lot of people that didn't show up because of the weather. So, but it was okay. It was good. But anyway, get back to
it's the same thing with the beach run. This is our third fall So it's relatively new, but this is the third, this will be our third one for the fall. And the first year was, you know, a dozen showed up, and mostly Michigan types, and nearby states. And then last year, you know, we got the, you know, the word had gotten out, and it probably doubled in size.
Right, right.
Which was still not, does not make it a big fly-in. And this year was good weather. I'm sure that that there'll be some increase in size again. Mm-hmm. We don't pre-register, so we don't really have any idea until they show up. We have a lot of camping room, and I don't really encourage it to be big. It doesn't really make that much difference to me. But people who come have a good time, and it's always fun to see them, of course. So
yeah,
great.
Now, just looking at your guys, you can go to USPA.org to the events page, and they've got a direct link to the parktownshipairport.com, also the address. And he's got restrooms, shower, but no shower.
So
okay,
showers. We're a little weak on showers.
Okay.
So take a shower just before you come. And of course, there's always Lake Michigan.
That's
the power,
right.
So.
No, don't say that, man. I'll have a motor out, and that wouldn't be good. So. I have to tell you about my motor problems. But anyway, go.
Oh yeah, are we ready for that now?
Oh gosh. Anyway, I tell you. Let me. Okay. No restrooms. Free camping.
There are
restrooms.
They have a like a regular airport clubhouse.
There, okay.
And
all right.
They have a couple of restrooms in there.
Okay.
They sell. They sell. 100 low lead on site.
Okay.
Defense. So bring your extra cans if you want to.
Not free, guys. Not free.
not free. Everything else is free. We're probably going to serve one meal, maybe on Saturday.
Okay.
Sort of a barbecue something.
Okay, so guys, if you want to bring some other stuff, I guess be prepared for that. Okay.
Yeah, and we'll Scott and I will come up with and Craig probably will be in this too. Come up with some burgers or whatever. So we'll
okay.
So that'll be on us, and then. But there's restaurants, motels nearby. It is not remote in any sense of the word. The airport itself has one paved strip that we have to be conscious of. It's an active airport in that sense. Not busy, but it's active.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is all mowed grass. I mean, acres and acres and acres of mowed grass, and it's all ours. And,
wow.
The other thing I was going to say, this one change this year, and I had to announce this ahead of time.
Okay.
Is that they don't allow dogs.
Oh, really?
And I noticed that a lot of fly-ins there are, you know, it's nice to see dogs and people bring their pets along. But here on the airport grounds, this is a township-owned property, and
right. Okay.
Dogs are restricted from township-owned property. So that's I had to announce that ahead of time on the write-up, too. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna get this out pretty quick. So, but okay, that was one of the. You said you had a few rules. Is that? Let's see. One rule that needs to be pointed. Okay. Dogs. No dogs. And I was trying to see if there was anything else. It seemed because you had this year a few new rules.
In the past, we always have a little fire going at night, and again, this is township owned property, and we didn't. They've always had a rule against open container alcohol on township owned property, and
okay.
I didn't know this. The first year we. And we faithfully policed up all the beer cans and threw them in the dumpster. And that's how they mailed us, all the empty beer cans in the dumpster. They
said, hey, okay.
okay. We don't have open containers. So I'm just saying that there's no visible open container. So
okay.
People, you know, take that for what it's worth. And I think as long as we don't run around with... people will figure this out. So
right. Understand.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. No drinking and flying, guys. So,
yeah, exactly.
There you go. Oh, cool. Well, daggone it, man. See, I was trying to look at, I was reading over your write-up or the write-up that they had on USPA. Anything else you can think of
the
guys?
Well, the other thing is, take your significant other, your spouses, your kids, or whatever. There's a paved bike trail right from the airport that goes to the beach. And the beach, I'm not exaggerating, is the finest beach in Michigan.
Okay.
It's a Holland State Park, and it's a 2-mile easy bike ride right from the airport to the beach. Or you can take rollerblades. I think Jeff, last time he was out, he took rollerblades from the airport to the beach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And once you get there, it's September, so it won't be crowded, of course. But
right.
the beach is so nice, and they have a great time. The kids will. There's fishing off the pier. And so, and also there's a fairly good-sized outlet mall.
Oh, gosh.
If the weather stinks, you know, you can always fork over the credit card.
There you go. Okay, you fly, I go shopping. Okay.
Or if the weather's good, you can fork over the credit card. Either way.
Either way, there you go.
There's always something. Downtown Highland is quaint, historic, and and so fun to be had by all, regardless.
Well, cool. Very cool, man. It sounds like I said, from talking to the people there in the last fly-ins, Kankakee and Don Jordan's era, man, they basically like, oh, man, it's great. And I remember seeing, matter of fact, it's funny because YouTube, Andy, Skyrat's guy, he ended up posting a video after your fly-in last year. And it's like, oh, man, that looks too sweet. Where is that at? Come to find out, it was your fly-in. It's like, wow.
Yeah, Andy and Matt were there. Don Jordan, I think Don Jordan's at the last one.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He made it up. And so, you know, we're getting some, the word out, people are traveling from a little bit further out. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hits at a good time of the year.
Not too hot, not too cold.
And right, and some of the, you know, the biggie fly-ins are behind them.
Yes.
Maybe some of the guys have skipped the busy, the ones in the busy summertime, and hopefully this hits a little better time. So, and also, originally we had scheduled this that we could, people could fly, and we did a cross-country the first year, I think, and we had a tailwind, a 70-mile cross-country, and we were picked up.
Holy smolies.
And then we had a, it was uneventful, it was all great, everybody made it. But we had we were hoping for some really good color in the fall. Of course, here we get some nice color and trees and so. But ends up it's actually a little bit too early. So were I to reschedule this whole thing for color only, it would have been in October sometime around.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
For the tenters like Paul Anthem and some of those, they would get uncomfortably cold in October. So.
Well, I know you like to fly to snow. So anyway.
We do. We do some of that here. I'm not saying I like it, but it's what we have.
You deal with what you got. Okay. All right. That's great.
Exactly.
Guys, if you're wondering what I mean by that, because last time I talked to him, I was like, all the videos I ever seen you fly there first was in the snow. Is that the only thing you guys have up there? So that's the where that's coming in.
But, you know, we are where we are here, and we have... And actually, the lake gives us an extra shot of snow in the winter often. So we can be snow covered here, where other parts of the state of Michigan are not.
Mm, okay.
And so that's sort of that Buffalo phenomenon, I think, you know, where you get the lake effect snow.
Lake effect.
We have that here as well. So,
Oh, cool. All right, guys. Hey, you go to, like I said, go to. I tell you what. So you're not doing any RSVP. Just kind of, hey, this is it. Show up. You know, welcome.
I mean, this there's no cost. We are trying to we're going to put the jug out somewhere that people can drop money in.
Oh, donation.
And
okay.
For us, so it's for the airport. They're nice enough to have us, and we thought we'd throw it into the lawnmower fund or something where they could.
Oh, excellent idea. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, or they can do what they want with it, but it'll end up in a good spot and not in my pocket. So.
You did say that they don't mind if people come to Flyer.
I should point that out. Yeah. Once you get there and look around, there's a guy named Brian Fredericks, and he's the airport manager.
Yeah.
And you'll want to get his phone number. And you can call ahead, anybody, not just us. You can call ahead, talk to Brian, and say, hey, Brian, I got my camper and a buddy or my wife, my family. We would like to come and fly and also enjoy the beach and so on for a day or two. And you can camp for nothing, right on the... I mean, this is premium real estate.
Really? Wow.
In relationship to the beach and other things going on. And you can camp there for nothing, fly your brains out, go to the beach, and just a phone call ahead, be pleasant, and it's with Brian, and you're all set.
Excellent, man. I remember you saying
that. In fact, you and I ran into somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it was that Don Jordan's, who had just left Holland.
Yes.
The night before.
You're right. What was that? I can't. You're
there's
right.
Two guys.
Yes.
And they'd stayed overnight. And I know that Jeff and somebody else had come down in the camper, and they had stayed there overnight or two nights.
Yes.
Jeff
got. I remember.
And, so it's all good. You tent there, camp there, whatever you want to do. It's all free.
Oh, that's amazing. That TPG friendly. You gotta love it, man. That's great.
They do. They love to see, you know, participation. This is an area where it's been heavily, not so much now, you know, with the economy, but in the past been heavily, a lot of pressure from condo developers and things like that. And they all have eyes on this big hunk of mode real estate that it should be condos and soccer fields. And, when the enthusiasts, the aviation enthusiasts don't want to hear that, and they love activity at the airport just because they can say, it needs to be maintained as an airport.
Yeah,
it's worth it. And obviously that's good for us too.
Wow, that's cool. That is really cool. Okay, well, cool. Well, there you go, guys. I mean, that's another reason to come up and check it out, and a lot more possibilities, you know, not necessarily now, earlier in the season, later in the season, or whatever like that. So I can't wait, like I said, to come up and check it out. As like I said, last year.
I hope you can make it well.
Oh, I plan to.
If you come once, you'll be back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the one thing, it's funny, because the one thing I learned, like the Flight Junkies thing is, I look at the weather, I'm just going to take off. You know, it's funny. Somebody told me, said, man, if you keep playing a bit of weather, you'll never make it to a fly-in. So I'm just,
That's the fact.
Yeah, and I learned a lesson.
This summer has been especially that way.
Oh.
Where you look at the weather forecast.
Yes.
The systems have been hopping across the country really fast this year, it seems like. And it's just hard to find 2-3 days in a row that don't look like they stink, you know, when you look at the weather forecast.
But exactly.
You get to the fly-ins, and it's fun to have it all, usually. So.
Yeah. I mean, we experienced a little bit the crazy weather stuff at Kankakee and Don Jordan's, man. It was like, you know, so. But, all right, man. All right. I'll tell you, let's see. Tell you about my motor. You know, I was having motor problems. I had the motor out in Kankakee, right?
And that was your Fresh Breeze, right?
Wire issue. Which is, you know, the 07. Well, come to find out, it's funny because I got on the website and it's 06, 07 basically is when the problem occurred. They used the wrong wiring or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So, and I've been fighting that. And motor out in the bean field in at Lance's. Didn't want to fire at Don Jordan's Sunday, the best morning to go to the wind generator, guys.
Yeah.
I'm set up, ready to go. Motor won't go. Get to the Flight Junkies, okay? I fixed this, right? I fixed all these problems. Okay, get to the Flight Junkies. Same thing. What in the world is going on? Well,
how do you realize this? When you, it seems like at Don Jordan's, you were starting your forward lunge, running,
yes.
And then it started chugging. Was that you, or was that somebody else?
That was me. No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
And that's what was so funny, because I warmed it up right by the tent, or you know where we're staying at. Warmed it up, laid my wing out. Everything was good, and all of a sudden, when I was hooked in, clear prop. Fired up, it fired right up, and there was giving it full throttle, and it, like you said, it started chugging. Like, what in the world is going on? Fuel, whatever, I don't know, you know. And then it always would end up, I didn't even notice this until the Flight Junkies, it'd start, it'd chug, and sometimes it just intermittently just would not, I mean, nothing, zero. Of course, I'm thinking those wires that are running from the primary coil that's behind the stator, behind the flywheel, coming out, you know, that's where the problem has been at. There's the green wire that goes across. So you guys that have Simonini's, you'll know what I'm talking about, but there's a wire that goes to the kill switch and all that, and the ground wires that are coming out of the coil. That's what I always thought it was, and that's actually what it was the first time it ever happened to me. Well, got to the Flight Junkie, same thing. Okay, I'm rewiring this thing. I'm just going to rewire. I'm taking all these wires. I'm rewiring it. And I ended up doing that, and it's still nothing. Well, I got home and said, okay, I'm going to get some 16-gauge wires, so this, that, and that, some new plugs, and I'm going to, you suggested silicone. I'm going to silicone the heck out of this. This is not going to happen to me again, you know. And this, I've been fighting this for, like, well, all month, because it's, you know. And come to find out, man, a year ago, I ended up ordering a coil, and come to find out it wasn't a coil, it was actually these wires. Well, right before, and the spark plug wire is what I'm talking about, right before it goes into that coil, there was a break right there.
Oh, really?
So I had those small wires problem, and also there was a break right there just before it went into the coil. So I got a coil on the way.
You're saying that the brake was because the rubber spark plug wire, the rubber on the spark plug wire goes all the way to the coil, right?
Right.
It embeds
that wire
into some. Yep, and embeds into some hard composition material. Right?
Yes, it was probably quarter inch right where the brake, right before it went into that composite piece that goes into going into the coil. And I looked at it.
The rubber was cracked, and so it was obvious.
Well, no. That's what's so weird about it, because I had looked before and didn't think anything of it, right? But when I got home, I actually took, after I rewired it with brand new wire and stuff, and it still wasn't firing, I'm like, what in the world's going on? And so the next step was to, I went ahead and put the ohm meter. You can take the ohm meter, and the spark plug wire itself is considered a secondary part. You can stick an ohm meter down in there, and the ground, the two posts that are actually on the coil, touch them, and you should get some kind of continuity. I wasn't getting any continuity at all. It was zero. Yeah. It was nothing there. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. So by that time, I went ahead and took the pull start and where the coil is. And all you 780 guys, you know what I'm talking about, and pull the coil off and start investigating that wire. And I, you know how when you pull on a wire, and you're like, man, that's weird. That doesn't feel right. Well, I take a razor blade into that, and you see the burn and the break right there, and it was covered up. I mean, it was broke in, where you couldn't see it. It wasn't visible unless you actually got right on the wire and started messing with it. And I'm like, that's weird.
So this was something you had replaced previously?
No, I didn't. I was going to. It mattered. You know, the oddest thing is because I got it last year before the Flight Junkies, and I gave it back to them, saying, no, this was not the problem. So yesterday, of course, I ordered the same thing I gave back to him last year at the Flight Junkies reunion. It was like, man, that is crazy. So anyway, so hopefully, once again, knock on wood, I'm saying I fixed my motor problem. So
this was your issue the whole time. You were screwing around. But had you been finding other wires that were damaged too, the secondary wires that were coming out?
Yes. That's what...
The
primary
wires that you
should... Oh, absolutely. Now, this has probably been going on for a while, the spark plug wire, but I was also finding broken wires, those wires, on the little secondary wires or whatever, coming out, the ground wire.
That's what put you in the bean field, wasn't it?
Yes, that's what initially put me in the bean field, because I went flying 12 miles out that Sunday morning after I came out, that Sunday morning after I came out of the bean field Saturday night, yeah. Sure was. So I had kind of two things going on there and didn't realize it. So it's crazy. I guess you find out those things until like, okay, hold on. It's just not right. So guys, and you really, two-stroke motors, you never know. It could be anything. They're shaking themselves apart, basically. So
although you don't hear of a lot of coil problems. I was thinking about that. I've owned a lot of two-stroke motors, and I think I had one coil problem that was really of my own making, where I had to create a severe short and pop the coil. But other than that, that's something you hear regularly.
The reason why, okay, and I never did question it when I got this motor. Okay, I bought this motor. It had about 20 hours, if that, on it from a guy. Okay, and on this coil wire, I don't know if you ever seen, there's a, NGK makes a, a splicer or whatever. You actually, if you cut your coil wire, right, you can put this in between and join them, and they screw down, and it was on there. I never questioned that, okay? And what I'm thinking is that extra... next time I see you, I'll show you what I'm talking about. But it's probably about half a finger long or whatever, maybe even a finger long, inch and a half long, and you can join those two wires together. Okay. Well, there was
like if you wanted to create an extension or a longer wire.
Yes, exactly. Okay, it was on there. I just assumed it was a part of the machine. I didn't know. This is, you know, I've been flying this thing for over a year and a half like this, and I think the deal was is that extra weight actually from the vibration actually caused that break. That and it was probably only a half an inch between that, or if not an inch between that and where it goes into the composite. Is where the break was. It was in between those two, in between that, and I think the vibration with that extra weight of that actually caused the break in the wire.
That was an OEM, I bet you.
I don't think it was either, because I got that. You know, I bought that one, that new coil from them, and it was just one long wire. And I was like, oh, that's strange.
Right. There might have been an incident with the previous owner where the wire got broke, and this seemed like a way to fix it.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it before, so
yeah.
It's something new.
Yeah, so that's the reason why I think it actually, that's why it broke, because that extra weight and vibration is what caused the problem. So, but that was, and like I said, I'll show you the little jumpers. NGK, it looks great. I mean, it looks, I'll tell you what, if you weren't familiar with the motor or what you got, you would think, oh, okay, it just comes like that. But I never thought about that. Maybe that's what happened. You know, he had cut the wire or whatever like that and found this. I didn't even know they made that thing, you know, the little NGK jumper or splitter or splice, whatever it is. It's like, wow, that's interesting. So it was.
So now you get that, you put it on, you're good to go.
I'm going 20 miles, 30, 40. You said 70 miles y'all had cross country? I'm down low.
Long Ranger will.
I'm down low because I have confidence in my motor now. Right. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. You know, I was thinking of engine outs at Kankakee. There was, I think there was probably, I think Cindy got recovered.
Sunday. She was the last person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, and there was, was it Martek? Did he get
No. It was one of the local guys there, John. Is that his name? I think his name is John. He had a motor out, and then I can't think of the other guy out of Illinois there. It was five of us total that had motors out. Of course, I was the one to start it off.
Do you remember the guy with Marty there with the big PPC, that real fancy PPC?
Yes.
He gave everybody sort of a walking, talking tour around the thing. He's an engineer, and he's had built quite an extravagant Paraski, as was the brand.
Yes, yes.
And a very cool machine and nice presentation. And and of course, you know, the PTC boys, they were well represented at that fly-in, the Kankakee fly-in.
Yeah.
And they actually call their machines planes.
Do they really?
You know, like, yeah, they do. They call them planes. Like, not an airplane, but they call them, you know, they might call them airplanes, but they say, well, take their, I have this plane, I owned this plane for so many years, and this is how they refer to their aircraft, which is peculiar, but anyway, that's their. And so he was give us a tour around the plane or his powered parachute. Very nice machine. A lot of creative juices, flowed when he was building that thing. That's for sure. But I say on a group, a PPC group that Marty belongs to.
Yeah.
It's a PPC builders group, and they're quite an interesting bunch. But and we were discussing Kankakee, and I said, we had this many motor outs. No injuries. It was really good flying for us. They were all flabbergasted.
Really?
That I could talk about a fly-in where we had this handful of motor outs as part of a casual conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because when they have a motor out, I mean, it's a big deal. And
yeah.
It's actually a bigger deal, too, because we're trying to recover this bigger machine out of the bean patch or the corn or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
And those things are actually not so easy to land power off either. They're it's not something they really practice regularly. They have quite a steep angle of descent, and they might end up breaking some suspension parts or something.
Oh wow! Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So they not all, but this is how it can go. And but they were flabbergasted that. And then I said, actually, it's just kind of a non-event. You know, you gotta get picked up, and that's a hassle. But by the end of the summer, you'll forget about it.
I don't know. The guys that I know, I'm flying, there's a lot of things they'll let you forget about. I went to, there was a week time there. 7 days. No, I'm not feeling that. I'm sure in Holland, Michigan, it may come up again that I was in the bean patch, but it may just be me. I don't know, you know. So.
Well, we've recovered quite a few off the beach. It always seems the crossover from the airport to the beach is I would say heavily wooded, but the land out there, you have to be fairly creative. And we encourage a lot of altitude on a 2 mile crossover.
2 mile crossover, yeah.
Beach to the airport and vice versa. So. But there are some subdivisions without power lines and things like that that could be used. But we've recovered quite a few off the beach already where cruising up and down. And hopefully they can make it to, so far they've been able to make it to public access somewhere. We can scoop them up.
Scoop them up. Oh, well, cool. Very cool. Right. Well, considering mine, let's see. Daggone it, there it goes again. Of course, guys, let me tell you what happened real quick. I was, it's one of those deals where I was kind of questionable about my motor. These guys were going to the rock quarry. They took off and they were kind of buzzing around a little bit, gathering, you, Phil, Cindy, can't think who else was with you, but I said no, and then all of a sudden I changed my mind. And so I started heading out and catching up and was pretty much caught up with them, and I think you looked back and I was already down and they went on. They just left me, guys. I'm stranded in the bean field here, okay? And so luckily Cindy and Phil came back through and they came and got me up after the mosquitoes and me packing all of my stuff up and heading towards the road. No big deal. Like you said, it's no big deal. It's just, you know, looking for a place to – don't go for the corn, of course. Luckily, beans were good. And they really wasn't that
beans,
high this time.
Beans
so.
Are the answer. Although, I got to tell you, beans surprise you. As the team wears on, they get quite tall and really, really thick.
Yes.
And you probably caught it at a fairly good time, just this time of year or in late August, September maybe, before they harvest.
They're already up to the waist.
Beans are more attractive than corn, but yeah.
Yes.
It's the struggle of getting your wing and everything out of the... One thing I think Phil and Cindy did, actually, is what they did is they flew over you and marked you.
Yes, GPS, guys. GPS, right. And that's
they passed on the coordinates to somebody else, and your taxi arrived.
But the problem that I'm gonna talk about this later date is, number one, my cell phone was dead as a doornail. I didn't have a radio as far as a family service radio. Only thing I had was a bright yellow wing. Begging that somebody would cross over, but luckily there was a couple of farmhands up there that they were actually going to get a truck and take me back over to the airport, so which would have been really cool. About that time when they Lance and MCAP guys came by, and thanks to Phil and Cindy and those guys, and like you said, GPS marked me, and it was all good. So,
and the other thing you mentioned was a can of off.
Yes. Put a can of off, you see, a wiring harness, you see, let me think of the tools. You know, it's funny because I've been writing down, okay, I'm going to talk about this on the show. What do you need to carry with you in case of an emergency? Cell phone. Charged. So, solar charged cell phone, just in case. So, but anyway. Well, cool, man. I'll tell you what, real quick. You have a new product as far as springs. I'm seeing a YouTube thing.
Oh, well, yeah. It's a little bit premature. There's actually a couple things I'd like to talk about briefly here. One is going back to Jeff Baumgartner. As you know, he's passed on the Skybolt website to Jeff Goen.
Yes. PPG Plans, PPGplans.com. You're right. Go ahead.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Jeff has taken that over, and I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but if you go to the website, I think that the Skybolt plans are now available free download.
They are, yes.
And so they're looking for somebody to take over the machine fittings. There's four machine fittings and a spring clip packet that goes out, and it's necessary to assemble the V2.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought out Jeff's remaining inventory. And so I'm handling that part of it now, and when I run out of inventory, I'll start making those parts here in Michigan. And so that was one thing I wanted to mention. And then the other thing was, and this is a little bit premature, but I was, one of the fly-ins I went to earlier this year had a really rough, kind of a rough field. For foot launchers, not a problem. For a strike launchers, and particularly with my cheap trike design, which is sort of an unsprung basic frame, it actually was rough enough where I felt as though I had some control issues that could have been improved with a suspension. And so the back suspension I put on spring rods, which is, you know, fairly standard in the industry. They're fiberglass rods that extend out and give some spring action. On the front, I'm fooling with the idea of using a bungee suspension, just a hinge point and wrapped with a bungee cord. To
it looks good.
Wheel, so.
I don't know if anybody told you. It looks good,
it doesn't
yes.
work as, it doesn't work as well as I'd hoped. There's,
In addition
to the nice up and down spring motion I was looking for, it also it feels a little bit loose when you're making turns.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like it needs some more design work done to it. So that's the front is back to the drawing board. But the rear actually has helped a lot. That, you know, just having rear suspension on a trike takes a lot of the takes a lot of the bumps out of the field. So actually, I have a student coming in from Florida tomorrow
morning. Oh, excellent. Okay.
So the Springer trike is going to be the one we're going to train on. So that's how we're going to start the training. So hopefully we'll see how he adapts to it.
Did you extend the wheelbase? It looked like you extended the wheelbase a little bit, or is it able, is it adjusted?
You're talking in length, front to rear? Are you?
Width, as far as the rear width, I guess.
The basic is still 60 inches, so it slides in between the uprights of my F-150.
It's funny because...
Then the axles will slide out an extra foot on each side. That's the fiberglass.
I was wondering. Okay. Yeah, it looks like
so
it.
So that gives me an extra 2 feet. So, again, there's a it's a nice, when I train on trikes, when I train somebody on a trike, basically I do two things. For this one, I'm going to extend the axles out. Of course, that'll make it more roll resistant. The other thing I always do is they strap the front wheels so the guy can't turn the front wheels. It always goes straight.
Oh, okay.
It always goes straight down. We point him down the runway and into the wind, and that's where it goes. But a lot of times these guys get into sort of sensory overload, and the next thing they're turning the front wheel when they should just be. And this creates a uncomfortable near rollover or rollover situation. So
yes.
We don't do that here. We go straight.
Go straight only. That's great. We'll work on that later.
They can learn to we'll feed in that particular skill a little later on in the training process.
It looks stable and stuff as far as extending out and everything. I mean, seeing you take flying it. Taken off, it looks really stable as far as, tippy and stuff like that.
Although, I'd hesitate to say that anything is, it's quite roll resistant, as a trike would go. But you wouldn't want to say anything is rollover proof because somebody will prove you're wrong.
I thought you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's great.
The wings are big and powerful. You get them, you get sideways to them, and, they'll pull about anything over.
I wanted to add, can a person get it a different powder coat? Color?
I got one color.
Okay.
So far I got one color. And that is, the reason for that is the powder coat place I go to.
Yes.
They run this one color. They have this one color they run on a job every day.
Okay.
And so I can go in there and drop it off in the morning and pick it up the next day.
Okay. All right.
And it's an interesting thing. Powder coat is an interesting process where they take powder, actually. They coat metal with this polyethylene or some sort of powder, plastic powder. I don't know, where they have a negative positive charge and it sticks to the metal. Until they get it into the oven, they heat it at 400 degrees and it smelts on the metal. That's what powder coating is.
Basically. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't know that.
They take it out of the like, cool. And then it has this super hard finish. Well, what they this one particular, it's very inexpensive. My whole, a whole cheap trick, I'll just say this, a whole cheap trick costs $70 to do.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, imagine it, messing up your shop with a, you know, with a spray gun and everything.
Right.
It's just no comparison. And it's such a tough finish, like on your machine. It's just an incredible finish. But they run this one color all the time, and of course they don't like to cross contaminate. So they do offer all these colors, but they charge more for them because
keeps the price down. You know, cheap price.
There you go. So I offer the one color, and I have the one supplier, and eventually this all may come where I would offer more. But at this point, it's just the one. That's a long story, but that's.
I was just wondering. Yeah, I was like, because I've seen all your. They've been that same colors. I was just wondering. Okay, what is. He's going to, they must just have one color at this shop.
Well, you know, Henry Ford.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, any color you want, as long as it's black.
That's right. There you go. That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, did you do any more stuff about the bigger motor? How did that... I know I kind of talked to you a little bit. Yeah, I talked to you a little bit about it at some of the fly-ins, but I'm sure some people like to know how's that progressing.
Yeah, I'm actually doing some more of that. I've been flying again. I have it mounted in a different frame, and one of the things that was sort of fighting with that, there was a harmonic that I was chasing around trying to get rid of, and I was encouraged with this new frame I have, and also a different propeller. I've been doing some experimenting with a PowerFin three-blade prop out of Washington. And
what you using,
it
what,
turns out that when you lower the weight of the prop, of course, that affects the inertia.
Right.
I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's just the blades are very lightweight, and so the weight of the propeller of what there
spins
is mainly in the hub.
Yeah.
And I find that that really moves any vibration and moves it out of range of operation.
Huh.
And
really?
So now I'm back to where I can get the engine running very smooth. And so now I just got to deal with the weight. But I already have some performance numbers on it. I mean, it's quite a quite an improvement.
Major difference?
Over the
yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 50% higher climb rate. And
oh, really? 60?
So yeah, it's 50%.
50?
Like 40 to 50% higher climb rate, yeah.
Wow.
Ideally, under ideal circumstances.
Same... Same blades, or as far as length, or
same blade, same. Of course, that's with the power fin.
With the power fin, but I'm talking about same length of them. Yeah.
Same length, but actually a little shorter. They're actually
really.
I'm using slightly shorter blades, but I'm using a. Of course, there's more pitch, quite a bit more pitch in the blades,
right.
To absorb the horsepower. And also, I'm using the same reduction that I use on the 23, so it's the same ratio, same triple shiv belt setup. And that's a little bit marginal on the 31 horse. I'm finding that I got to have the belt tension pretty high to avoid any slippage. So that'll be a redesign on the pulleys when I get to that point.
Mm. Are you going to have to shorten the belt, or you said you're going to actually... So you will have to shorten the belt, or...
Well, I'm using 3/8 triple shift belts now, and I may have to step up to half inch or 5 inch in belt width. It's a different belt contour. Actually, if you'd cut the profile of the belt, it'll cut a belt and section and look at it. It's a little different belt design that I would need. But I just need a little more surface there to accommodate the
for the horsepower. Right, less slippage. Yeah.
And it's really a different motor. It's a big block motor of the Briggs the Vanguard series. And they go from 80 pounds dumped out of the box, which is my 23 that I normally use, 80 pounds, to 135 or 140 pounds dumped out of the box.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's an ox. I mean, this thing is the thing I got to deal with. I'm right at the edge of 254 pounds when I put a glider in the seat.
Yeah.
So I just gotta be conscious of the weight and things that go through this. That's probably my next issue, is making sure I can stay underweight with them.
They have nothing in between that, I guess, as far as...
Well, not for them, no.
Yeah. And you're trying
The torque curves are fantastic on this motor. It's really interesting, the difference of between the two. So.
Wow. That's amazing, huh? That's a lot of added weight for one more cylinder. Or is it more?
No,
bigger bore.
It's exactly right.
Bore.
When you look at the two side by side on my shop floor, my 23 looks like a toy.
Wow.
So it's just a big block with a big exhaust outlet. Yeah. Everything's big about it, and it has a different sound, which is really kind of a cool sound. And
what are you talking about, man? We didn't even hear you in the mornings when you got up. What are you talking about? Terry was one of the first guys up in Kankakee. What's that? Then the big PPC went by. Blah. Oh, is that Terry? No, I couldn't even hear you. Listen to you.
I like to get up early and try to wake everybody up.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty ineffective.
You might, man, you might as well get in your truck and blow the horn, okay? All right? Holy crap, guys. I mean, it was like, is his motor running? Oh, yeah, it's running.
Well, Jeff Cohen, you know, one of the fun parts for me at Kankakee was Jeff Cohen was there, and he flew the
Oh, yes! Engine. Yes!
Yeah, he said he kept pulling his earmuffs away. Just to make sure that it was running properly.
Did he really? Oh my God!
Yeah.
Oh man, did he write a review on it? Was he? Did he go ahead and write something up on it?
You know, I did. Not that I'm aware of. So I think he would tell me. So I check Foot Flyer, but not probably every week.
No,
so I'll go back there and look. That was the goal
you,
that he was going to add it eventually to a.
I'm gonna talk to him tomorrow. Review. You know, I'm gonna press him on it. I'm gonna press him on it tomorrow.
One of the things he had mentioned was that. Of course, it is the, you know, I do look for economic ways of doing things, and
yeah.
My front fender, which the front fender, front mud flap is standard equipment. And,
man, it looked like you just,
it's basically like the plastic signboard that
Torex.
I can extend into a shape.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny.
And
you know I saw that. I didn't say anything, okay? I said, okay, I know his name's Cheap Trike, but good. I mean,
yeah.
It is lightweight, though. Okay, he was going lightweight.
Yeah, it was lightweight and light cost. And Jeff looked at that and he said, you know, that's a bad place for it. I got to look at this thing. He said, that needs to be chrome.
That's hilarious.
So I'll put that in the constructive criticism column.
Okay. See, guys will not appreciate what we're talking about until they walk up on it and go, wow, okay. I see what he's talking about now. Yeah. Now, guys, I didn't want to say anything to him, but, you know, since he brought it up, it was, well, he was staying in the spirit of Cheap Trike. That's what it is.
He put you in a little too high there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, one more thing. The extended service hub, man, okay? Are you going to make those anymore?
I don't know. There's,
you know, there's people have been crying for him. The motor problem that Cindy had. Matter of fact, I don't know if you knew that. Matter of fact, we were, let's see, when was that she had it? You were at the Don Jordan's. Remember, Cindy had the motor out. Well, we believe it was the bearings.
Right.
It was the bearings in that.
The bearings in what?
In the hub there. In the prop. In that. What do you call it? The. For the propeller, extended service hub, the bearings.
Yeah, okay.
The bearings basically.
It wasn't my. I don't think it was my hub. I think it was.
No. That was OEM hub. That was the OEM hub that the bearings in there locked up on her or started to lock up on her. That's where that was probably the whole problem. Yeah. So, but she had a million hours on that motor. They fly all the time. So. But yeah, it looks like because once Chris took the belt off, it was like the motor was fine. But you could take after we took that hub off, you could just see the bearings were just like toast. So, but yeah.
Well, you know, here's with the extended service hub or the super hub, whatever
super
I
hub.
Decided to call it.
Yeah.
I've actually sold quite a few of those.
Yes.
And. It's like a lot of products, so you don't get a lot of feedback. I mean, you know, like Phil has one, for example.
Yes.
I talked to Phil, and he said, yeah, you know, it works good. And I think what happens is people buy these things, and what it does is it restores the feeling of their motor, the vibration, and you know how it flies and how it feels on their back, to like it was when it was new.
Yeah.
And
you mean I don't get any more horsepower? I mean, I don't, come on. I'm expecting, you know, more horse. Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, you know, they don't, understandably, they don't give you a lot of feedback and say,
right.
Well, you know, this thing changed my life. It's not like that.
Right.
It just made it like it was when they bought it, like they remembered it. And And that's a good thing. I mean, that's
right. You
know, obviously, when you first buy your Fresh Breeze Simonini, it's you know, it's wonderful, and then it becomes if the hub starts shaking you, it's a gradual thing. You don't really you don't really notice it until at some point you go, wow, my tips, my blade tips are wobbling a lot. Maybe I should do something. And then when they put the hub on, any new hub, you know, ours at Fresh Breeze would return it back to OEM condition, and that'd be nice. The whole idea of the extended service hub is just that the thing is. Has a little bit different design in that the bearings are spread out further, as per the video I did on.
Yeah.
And so logically, one would think the bearings that this will be an issue that you won't experience again for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has my longest ones have been out there for about a year and some months now.
Matt had one. He's another hog too. He has one too. It works great.
Oh, okay. And Matt Conrad has.
Yes.
But the issue is with me, they're not a big money maker for me, even though they're sort of at $350.
Yeah.
I don't make a lot of money on the things, and it's not like I was doing it for free or for a service. But if I'm busy doing other things, and then I don't really think about making it.
Right.
So I
get you got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, well, I get calls from people and they say, I go, crap, I just haven't run any for a while. And I like to run, you know, maybe 10 or so at a time. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
So, and also there was some discussion that Fresh Breeze actually had addressed this problem with a product of their own.
Yes.
And I'm really not so sure that's true. I complained about it, you know, sort of good-naturedly on the groups. But I'm not so sure that they actually did. And I'm thinking that maybe it was, they're doing something similar on the new redrive that they're selling.
On the redrive, right.
The new motors.
Well, it looked like on that new Monster. Yeah. I was looking at the Phil's Monster. It looked like they had a new design as far as where they spread that bearing out and stuff. Yeah. No, I don't think it's a retro. I think it's maybe coming out with their new motors. So, exactly right.
Yeah, so this is something that I think there's probably still an opportunity there. You know, if there was a big clamor for it, obviously I would.
Really? So how many times do I have to call you? Oh, I'm sorry. Daggone it. Look, that 502 area code come up again. You'd be like, daggone it, Will, if you don't leave me alone, man. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, sir. You're not allowed at our fly-in.
So
you're a prank caller.
I actually turned down some business here recently. I sort of lose count, but you know, maybe two or three guys or so had called and said, "Do you have any?" Sorry, you know.
Yeah.
I sold my last one, I think, maybe a few weeks ago, and but I'm sure I'll make some more.
Okay, man. So I'll tell you what. I got a whole lot of phone numbers. I'm gonna tell everybody to call you. You're in trouble now. Oh, you didn't hear that from me. Anyway, no, man, that's it's just a nice product. That's all. I understand you got a lot of things in the fire going there. I understand that. That's all. It was one of the things that I talked to you about the first time, and it was like, wow, man.
Yeah.
And it was amazing on the group that all of a sudden everybody was talking about it. It's like, yeah, okay. We talked about it here. Here's the video. Go check it out, you know.
Well, it's a product that serves a niche purpose, and
you know,
it's sort of a common sense thing. It's not going to change your life if you own a machine like that, but it's a common sense thing, and it probably my guess is that it will prevent you from going through a hub change.
Yes,
you know, for an extended amount of time.
Right,
thus the extended service hub.
I think a lot of people, more experienced people, that's one of those things where it's like, oh man, you know, guys that, any of those guys probably had 200 hours plus on their motor before the problem showed up. So, and like I said,
well,
it's one of those
things. Well, that's the thing, too. Some guys will call me and they'll say, you know, I see your thing, it looks like a good idea, but why do I need that? And I would say to them, well, if you don't
have a problem,
any trouble, you don't need it.
Right.
Yeah.
And yes.
And so it definitely doesn't occur on every machine.
Right.
I'm not sure what the differences are or why. Actually, my incentive to get started in all this was the fact that I owned one of the factories, a couple of them actually, and one in particular, and this is a machine I trained on. I mean, I trained students on it.
And million
so
hours, yeah.
It saw a lot of action,
yeah.
You know, rolling around on the ground and everything else. So
what? Wait a minute.
So this was a machine that definitely I was changing. You know, I was having hub problems early on.
Yeah.
But, And so this is what got me going. Yeah. I thought, well, there's a better way to do that. And
right.
so help me. And so the key might be if someone is sort of a gentle flyer in the sense that they haven't broken props and maybe haven't trained on a particular motor.
Yeah.
You know, just they're flying it. They're flying it with a lot of skill. Then I'm maybe that's the reason, the difference between HubZed last
right.
200 hours like Cindy's and HubZed last 30 hours like mine were.
Right. Yeah. And another thing is, guys, if you're worried about it, if change the bearings before it gets to the point where it starts eating up the inside of it. So, you know, that's another maintenance thing you could think about doing. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the Super Hub, when we sent them out, they would go out complete. The only thing you had to do, the bearings were installed, and
right,
the only thing that was required was to change the, you know, move the big pulley over to the, from the old hub.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, cool, man. I guess I've talked your head off enough. Shoot.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you called. You know, I look forward to seeing you a couple times yet this year, for sure.
Yes.
And,
yes. Are you making it to? Are you going to make it to Dave Purden's?
You know, it's on my list.
Same
it's on
here.
My list to make it there, but I've got some conflicts. I've got people. I'm doing quite a bit of trait training right now, and
are
so
you? Cool. Okay.
That's what pays my bills here. So, if I have weekend. I'm going to make it to Scottsburg. I'm playing around that.
Okay.
But
well,
if
I'll definitely
I have
see you there.
People can only make it on weekends, then I'm probably going to bail on Dave.
Okay,
so,
if
not, if I don't have students that weekend, then I'm gonna try to make it down.
Well, cool. Well,
and are you going there?
That's same thing. It's like no student or anything like that. It's just kind of, it's close. It's probably one of the, Scottsburg's closest one, 30 miles, 30, 40 miles.
Yeah, you're back.
Right. I'm not rubbing it in or anything like that. Just, you know. But Dave's is just in Cincinnati, so that it's, I think it's like maybe 2 hours, if that. So I was talking to him about it. It's just outside of Maysville, so, which is not far away. So
I was thinking about Holland for you driving up here.
That's, gosh.
That's going to be a 5.5-hour run.
Yeah. Man. I must love this stuff. I don't know. What the heck? Well, it can't be no worse than going to the Flight Junkies. It's got to be about the same distance, so. Because they're up by Cleveland, just east of Cleveland, so. Yeah, that's all right.
Come early to Holland, stay late. You'll have, make it worthwhile.
Hey, but could you order some good weather for me, please? I mean, come on.
Done. It's already done.
Good. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's already done.
Well, Terry, thanks a lot.
Figure on it. It is September.
Now, if you disappear on me, I'm just going to kind of give your number out to everybody, tell them to call you and bug you, and make me a service hub, so, you know.
Well, that's fine. Absolutely. It's just pure laziness on my part. I'll go down and get the stock, you know, the aluminum billet, and just run the parts. And the other thing is I don't really want to have 10 of those sitting on my bench.
Exactly. And, see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
See, and it's funny because that's it's one of those deals where, man, if you knew that people wanted them, make an order. I'm gonna, you know, pre-order, and that would probably, maybe that's the way to go. Make a pre-order.
Yeah.
Guys, if you're thinking about
really
it,
that's not really what they want because they're having an issue and they, you know, they understand we want the part yesterday. You know?
Right. Exactly. And it's always today. Can I have that today, please? So. Yeah. Well, cool, Terry. Hey, man, we will see you about 10 days, I guess. I talked to Brandon a little bit, so I'm going to talk to him a little bit more about the weather's been so weird here, so I think he's still got some things to tie down. But I will see you in Scottsburg. I greatly appreciate your time, my friend.
And thanks for calling me. I didn't think I may ever appreciate it, sir.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like I said, this is so laid back, and it's just kind of like, you know, how much time you need, how much you want, you know, I got time. All right. Well, cool. Thanks a lot, Terry. We'll see you real soon, my friend.
Good. Well, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, guys. Terry Lucky. So hopefully got enough information here so you guys are going to come on up to the Beach Run Fly-In there in Holland, Michigan. So, sound like it's going to be a good time. Looking at the videos of last year and just talking to some of the people that actually had gone to the fly-in before last year. It's a great time. lot of beach flying. It sounds like a lot of, well, if you're into beach flying, and you can actually do some inland stuff if you go on down the way, and then you can go and do some inland stuff. So he says, you know, that's like I said, the only thing I've heard you really need to, because it's like a 2 mile fly to the beach, and it's all basically trees, and you basically got to get up high and then make your trek across just in case you have a motor out problem. So other than that, it seems like access, just listening to what people talk about access to, if you have a motor out, is no big deal. So can't wait myself. So it sounds like it's going to be a great time. So anyway, that's all I got for you today. And if you have any questions, get in touch with me. Make sure you visit talkingppgradio.com. all my contact information there, Yahoo group, big PPG big list, I check that all the time. And also you can just email me from Yahoo. So guys, hopefully I'll see you in Holland. We'll talk to you soon. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Thanks.